Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
To the whole world this evening, all around.
it's surprising how there's people are so much into Halloween. Ain't nothing else happening but Halloween, you know, even on Facebook. Even Indians, you know, usually they're all into all kinds of stuff, but now they're all into Halloween, you know. And, you know, I was thinking about it, like something like 300 people got smashed in a Halloween event in South Korea. I said, damn, you know, didn't know that they have Halloween over there, because I know a lot of countries, they don't have Halloween, because Halloween is like a death holiday, celebrates death, you know. And I remember somebody, you know, when they first came over here, they wanted to take their kids out to the store. So they went to the store, and there the kids bought an arm. They bought a head, a bloody this. And this person was saying, what is this, you know? they couldn't believe that the Americans celebrate all this violence, you know, arms, tearing arms, and, you know, all this stuff. And really, it is like that, you know. This country here, well, there's, of course, there's other countries. They all, I guess, they pick up their habits from England and Europe and all of that, you know, so. There's countries like that that do celebrate these kind of things. And when I was young, I didn't know no better, you know. And Halloween to me was just putting on a mask and filling up bags of candy. We used to have gunny sacks back in them days, you know. Go door to door and fill up gunny sacks full of candy. And back in them days, I'm telling you, people were shelling out, man. I'm telling you, they were shelling out. You know, some would shell out cash. They were shelling out. Nowadays, you can't, you know, they don't do that anymore. But I was young, and that's what I got out of Halloween. You know, I didn't know nothing about, you know, anything. All I knew was that was a time to go out and get freebies, you know. and most of us, you know, older people, that's what we remember about it, you know. And, you know, being we were too poor to go out and buy fancy masks and all that, so we go just slap on some war paint or something, slap on, look like a hobo or whatever, you know, go out there and go door to door, you know, throw some lines on your face and go, you know. Me, myself, I used to like Bela Lugosi, Count Dracula, you know. So that was a cheap way, you know, just throw a black cape on and run out and play vampire. But anyway, before I get too deep off into Halloween, let me put on a goblin here. Well, of course, a goblin. she trick or treat, smell my feet, you know.
you got stinky feet.
Yeah. Trick or treat, I got stinky feet.
They're
good for you to eat. Yeah, so before we go, I'll let you take off, because I know we're probably going to go off into a unholy side of life.
Very good. Yeah. That's me and Larry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get it. Let's get it started, huh? We're gonna say a prayer and get started here.
Let's do it right. Yes. Otherwise, we're gonna get off into the you know what side of life. Go ahead.
Yeah. Before we become real sinners again, you know what I mean?
We're gonna say
a prayer here, everybody, and we'll get started. We're gonna say a prayer here, everybody, and we'll get started. Now that can look what you. You call in to Kasha Lawashi, Chakia. Was taking the Yoptak in the Hoichi Chapunkas, left that to keep from Yotan Kilwakana, Wakaja Laki Tunkas. To expect that Ochi, Uchi, Uyanki Lenin Tunkasha, like you here, Wokios, Agri Chak, the Tunkasa. Now to expect the Mitaki, Uyanki Lena, Yohila Tunkasa, which was on the Chuniji Lapunka. Ushin kilon unki apie tukasla. Nishno oni kono oya kipchunke. Ake lehtäty ushia niechitke hoi onko tukasla. Unki apie ja hoi chichapalole. Ushin kilapu tukasla. Ushin kilapu. How me takias?
Oh. Yeah, I'm glad you kind of sound like you gained your strength back a little bit, don't you? I know since your family was gone for a week, you was running around that house all week by yourself.
One legend on.
My
hair pigs looking snazzy again.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you was probably trying on all kinds of outfits in front of the mirror all week long while everybody was calling
them. Nothing was working.
all kinds of hairdos, you know. Well, that's good. At least I was happy your family got to go out and visit some place and leave the old buzzer alone for a few days,
old buzzer gets lost when they leave him home.
Yeah, sitting there. You're supposed to be all happy, but you're sitting there all sad, all wimping, you know.
Nowhere to go, nothing to do.
Yeah.
All dressed up and nowhere to go, man.
Yeah. Nobody loves me.
Legging on and running around.
Yeah.
That was him on the TV.
Yeah.
That was him on the TV running down towards the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Cops couldn't catch him. He just run on both sides of the interstate.
Nothing to do but run down the interstate for some action, Right by Vacaville Prison. Running on the outside of the Vacaville Prison.
It's him and so for Charlie Manson.
Them guys on one side of the fence and you're on this side of the fence. You're really jogging together.
So that was your cellmate there for a while, huh? Charlie Manson?
That guy used to hook me up with pen pals, man, I'll tell you. We was in W Wing together,
Where was he in prison?
Because
where did he die? He died out in Falcon Bay, huh?
He died in Corcoran or one of them places, I think. Those are all new prisons, Shit, when I was young, they didn't have none of them, it's kind of...
Pelican Bay, that's right.
Pelican Bay is the California lockdown now, he was...
That's where his baby died, I think. Pelican Bay?
Oh, yeah, sure.
But,
Very
I know
cool.
They moved him out of the bathroom. But he used
Who
to be
that?
Dead. Charlie Manson.
That guy, I remember, that guy.
You're selling me, Charlie.
Yeah. it's in the weird W Wing,
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, people, you know, people look at him, they say, ah, this guy was some kind of could control you with his mind. He was a little wimp, you know, a little bitty pecker wimp,
yeah.
You know. He had no control over nobody, you know. But, you know, society wants to make it look like he's somebody. But
yeah.
When you run across these guys, you know, like,
yeah.
like in San Quentin, they used to bring Sirhan through. He is a pitiful little guy, you know. You know,
yeah.
You know, they make him sound like they're this or that, but they're, you know, maybe he had passion for doing something. But Charlie Manson, he got blamed for a bunch of shit he didn't do, and he just accepted the blame because it made him famous. You know, shit. You know, he got tons of mail. He got lots of money just sitting in there. You know, and yeah, they're accusing them. You know, there's people in prison like that. You know, they were nobodies, but all of a sudden they're famous because they got accused of something. You know. And they didn't do, but they got famous over it, you know.
Public bills,
you know.
Yeah.
You know.
The publicity they get. That's how they get notoriety, the publicity.
You know, and people, when you really know these guys and you meet them in real life, they're a totally different person. They're nothing like, you know. That little guy couldn't make me control my brain, you know, at all, you know.
You know, they made him seem they made Charlie Manson seem like that. He was a big, big boogeyman. You know what I mean? But they hyped him up.
He was,
so much that,
yeah,
you know, they were afraid of him.
When you see him in real life,
yeah.
He was a. He looked like a little, like a wimp. He didn't have nothing evil in it. He looked like his, you know, like a real kind of like a, I guess people like that, more of a humble type. But you know, he was, they kept him slammed down in the hole. He was in W Wing. And at that time, he got a job at the chaplain's. He was a chaplain. He worked in the chaplain's office. So they used to escort him down to the chaplain's office every day, you know, and that was his job. He got that job, and then the night they'd bring him down. But I remember them hospitals, you know. See, that's
yeah.
What people do. They hated him. The hospitals hated him. So they used to try to spit on him and stuff. One time the cops were bringing him past, you know, and they were all,
yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. They were trying to spit on him and stuff, and he got right out of spinning range, and he would just laugh at him, you know. He'd say,
yeah.
He'd tell them cops, escort them, you got any bananas that could feed these apes? You know, he'd say stuff like that. And those hossapas would get all fired up, you know. But they,
yeah.
That was them. You know, what business do they have in it? I mean, yeah, you know, I can take a side. When I see somebody's like mass murderers and stuff, I could pick a side. But then in a lot of cases, is it really your business or not? I mean, do I really know what this guy really did? Do I know that for a fact?
He didn't do shit.
You know?
He didn't do nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
I mean, they had no videos of him doing nothing. That was all hearsay, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, he admitted stuff. Of course, you're going to admit stuff if you get famous for it. You know, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
It's like some old guy got busted for raping a young, pretty woman. He said, yeah, I did it because she was pretty.
You know,
wanted to have some only glory in his life, you know. But there's people
they overexposed him as being a bad dude. You know, they say that he controlled those women to kill. You know, how the hell can somebody control women to kill? You know what I mean? Either those women wanted to do it, or, you know, they didn't want to do it.
You know, I tell you what, if you were going to get off into that case, there was two guys in that whole case that were like that. They were wicked. One was that Tex Watson, and the other one was named Bobby Bugliosi. This guy was running around San Quentin when I was there, and he ran with the Aryan Brotherhood, Bobby Bugliosi. He was all tattooed down, you know, showing off white guy. And these guys were the kind of guys that would make, and he admitted it. He even said it in an interview, Bobby Bugliosi. He said, Charles Manson is a punk. He didn't do nothing. I did all that. He admitted that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, you see these guys, you know, Tex Watson and these guys, you know, you're in San Quentin, you see all these, you know, these big people, big time murders and stuff. You say, wow, that guy was on TV and stuff, you know, like what was that guy named Bobby Lee Smith and that Paul, they killed some cops in Bakersfield. They got big and famous. They called them the Onion, some killers. You know, they're running around prison. You know, there's a lot of them in prison. You run around and you see them, and they're like, remember that movie about this guy that was on death row, and a nun befriended him, and the nun was that, what's the famous actress name's? I'll think of her name. She acted in I forgot the name of that. With the guy, the two women that went around, they were outlaws. Remember, there was a famous
Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, Thelma and Louise. That one woman there. What's her name with the dark haired one? You guys are worse off than me.
Sarandon?
Yeah, Susan Sarandon.
Yeah,
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
She was friend. There's a movie about her. I think that's called Last Man Walking or Dead Man Walking with that guy that said El Chapo. What's his name? Sean Penn,
Sean Penn.
Well, that guy in real life was in Terre Haute with us. He had a death sentence, but when you go to federal prison, you ain't on death row. They let you walk the main line. So he was on the main line with us in federal prison, you know, and that guy was a real small, real, he looked like Sean Penn, everything, but he's a little bitty guy and really, you know, mellow guy, but he had a death sentence, you know, and he was running around. You see people like that and you say, damn, man, these guys are supposed to be big time killers, but, you know, I think everybody, a lot of these guys get caught up in the moment or whatever, and they ended up, are they high or drunk? Or whatever, and then in order to convict them, they have to make them sound 10 times worse than they really are. You know,
the big deal.
You know, I was following this parade killer, this guy that threw the crowd a parade in Wisconsin. You know, that guy was an idiot, man. Just got mad at his woman and just drove right through a crowd, ran over kids and everybody. Killed people, and then he became his own attorney. So on YouTube, you see it. He's so stupid being his own attorney. And objection, Your Honor. Objection, Your Honor. He's trying to act like he's important, you know. There's people like that. They're nobodies, you know.
What are you talking about?
You know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he drove right through the whole crowd, just mowing everybody down.
Yeah, just mowed them down. Okay. This is last Christmas parade, you know?
Yeah.
And he was a hoss-up buddy. Yeah, he was a hoss-up buddy. He mowed down a bunch of Washichu, you know? And boy, he went to trial. He's his own attorney, so he really got to put on a big show in court and all that. I mean, you know, these guys, but really, you know, now that guy was a wimp, you know. These guys are wimps, yeah. You know. The most meanest people you know are usually guys that don't look the type, you know, but, you know, they have different personalities, you know, like mafiosos and stuff like that, you know. But these yeah. guys like that, you know, they're just, a lot of them are just, you know, nobodies, you know. Charles Manson was just a nobody. He just was somebody, some old guy that had a house and let people come in his house and get high. That way he got high for free. He had women. Women showed up. Whenever you open your door like that, everybody's going to come. And if you're an old guy, they might treat you like a godfather or something, you know. That's what happened to him, you know. He wasn't doing nothing. He just had a bunch of young kids hanging down his house. He was getting free highs. He had women all over him, you know. And then, you know, of course, he was an ex-con. And they kind of looked up to him. And, yeah, he wasn't innocent. He wasn't an innocent person. But the things they got him for, he wasn't even there half the time, you know. And that's the point, what I'm saying, you know. You can get caught up in stuff real easy if you open your door to anybody showing up, you know. And that's what happens with these guys. Speaking of
things like that, look what they did to Leonard Peltier. Those of us
exactly
that were there,
we
know what happened there, see. But the majority of the people, they paint Leonard like he's a boogeyman, you know, and we
yeah,
know
like
that
he's a big time
he
cop killer and all that.
Yeah,
but he been in prison 40 something years and never even stabbed nobody.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what I say. You know, people, they portray him as a big boogeyman, and those of us that knew him, that's not who he was. See. And that's we try to tell the people that he was framed, but they don't believe us because the Washiju is the one that portrayed him as the big boogeyman, see, big cop killer. But yet they let a woman go that admitted killing those cops, those FBI agents.
Yeah.
And this man is innocent, see, and yet they have him sitting in prison. And that's
prison, And in prison, people were looking up to him because to them he is a cop killer. So he let a lot of that stuff slide. He was getting freebies for this, freebies for that, you know.
You're
a cop killer in prison, man, you know. I mean, you're going to get freebies, you know, and all that. And people are going to bother you, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, look how long
you.
That guy was in prison. Look how long that guy was in prison and never had to stab somebody. That shows what kind of person he is.
Yeah.
How could you be in prison
that
long?
He was a good person. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know,
he wasn't violent.
He was a good, kind-hearted person. You know,
and he wasn't violent.
Yeah, that protected his people, that stood with his people for the injustices that were being done. That's who he was. But because of that, the Washitus portrayed him as a cop killer, as public enemy number one, which he wasn't. See, he was never that, and we know that because we lived with him there. See, we lived with him in prison.
I knew guys that were around him in prison, you know, and he wasn't into being a tough guy, you know. He was just you know, trying to do time, like, you know what I mean? And but like I said, there's people, you go to prison, there's guys strutting that yard with their chest out ready to do stuff, you know. And you know, like I said, there's a lot of our people, you know. I mean, we even know them, you know. Going to prison, an Indian goes to prison, come on, hold on now. Well, there's people that go to prison. You're in, you know, a lot of Indians go to prison for small crimes and end up with life sentences in there because they end up having to stab people. They end up having to defend themselves. You end up having to, you know, and that's how prison is. And when you're in there 40 years, when you're in there 40 years and you never did that to nobody, then there's, then you got some kind of good conduct or personality or something that, you know, that that you don't need to live like that, you know. I mean, I know the young Indian guys, man, went in with 5-year sentences. It's still in there 30 years later, you know. But anyway, there's a lot of things that our people, that society don't know about, you know, the psychology of people, especially Indians. You know, Indians, like natives, we're, you know, as long as we don't drink, a normal Indian, if you don't drink or get high and all that, you're pretty bright person, you know. But once you get drunk, then you're running around peeing on people and, you know, running around naked. Okay, crazy.
Running down the interstate, one legging on, you know. I'm guilty of that, I think.
But a normal Indian, you know, a normal Indian that's sober is a really bright person,
a good,
you know,
person. And usually has pretty most of them.
Yeah, and they know how to get along with people, and without, you know, and nobody messes with them either, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I remember I was in a prison where there was only 4 Indians in the whole prison.
Yeah.
There was like 700 blacks, 900 whites, you know, 200 Mexicans, you know, and 4 Indians. You know what I mean? How do 4 Indians survive? You know?
Yeah. You know, so that's the thing. But nobody messes with Indians.
Yeah, you know. Then, you know, how do 4 Indians survive in a prison with 1,500 others? You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's because nobody messed with us because we, you know, we carry ourselves right. We carry ourselves decent, you know. And they ain't going to mess with us because they might get scalped and they know it, you know.
Yeah,
but we ain't running around.
We're afraid to piss the Indian off. You know, that's what it is.
And we ain't running around with our chest out either, you know.
End up carrying a lot of weight before they get out of their seat.
Yeah. You know, and in general, a sober Indian is somebody that knows how to live life.
Yeah.
And our people, even on the rest, and our people that live in societies that don't drink and get high, they live, you know, they don't do bad in life. You know, they ain't struggling, you know. Like, I drive down the street over here, I see people sitting on the curb. I said, damn, I never sat on the curb like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because once again, it has to do with alcohol and all that. I'm not saying I never did drugs or I never did alcohol, but those are in the past. I went through that life and was out of it.
Some of them get stuck with what it is. They don't come out of it.
I feel bad for our people like that, you know. Especially our women, you know, that are having to raise children they don't have nothing going for themselves, you know. It's really pitiful a lot of times when we look and you say, and you want to help them, but you know if you help them, it's going to come back on you some kind of way. They're going to come, you know, next thing they're at your house, Next thing they're walking out with your stuff. You know, I tried being nice to people. Next thing stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's true. That's true. They know how to take advantage.
Yeah, that's it. And it's sad that they take advantage of you when you're trying to have a good heart for them. So you end up being, you see them suffering, but you say, damn, there's nothing I can do because if I go over and help this person
you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, and that's just the way the reality of it, regardless of how you look at what you do, you're going to be damned, and a lot of times it's just best just sit back and be damned,
that's what happened over here, some relatives have kids, so you want to help out the kids, feed them, and they, come over and you feed them. Then pretty soon their mothers or the adults come over. Hey, I need some sugar. Can you help me out with some coffee? Can you help me out with this? And then you start doing it. Pretty soon your door's cracking open more and more. And pretty soon you notice your camera's gone. Then you notice something else is gone. Then you notice your jack outside's gone. Then you notice, tools walking away, Yeah. And so the only way to stop that is shut the door down. And then you see the kids suffering and you want to help, but you already learned a bad lesson because, man, we're poor. Man, a damn screwdriver and a pair of pliers cost lots of money, you need that little tools around the house, And a jack. Some guy took off with my jack. What if I get a jack?
Pliers and a screwdriver might be your livelihood, And they're trying to steal it from you,
Some guy took off with my jack out in the driveway. Can't buy it, All right, now next thing he's gone, there goes my jack. What if I get a flat? So you start being stingy, and then the word's out on you. That guy's a stingy. He's stingy. He's a Washichu. He acts like a Washichu.
That's not the case.
Then they pull your covers. Then they say, "Yeah, he was in prison. He was this. He was that." The next thing, you got smut on you. So the best thing to do is act like you don't know what's going on and ignore everybody. It's a sad way to live, but was he talking to the audience or is he talking to Bimber?
he's talking about when you're small and they put a boogeyman figure on somebody and you go in and you don't know him, but you swing way around him. Because of what people say, how they portray it, That's a lot of the doings on the reservation. Like you say, pretty soon he was in prison. He did all these things. Pretty soon people walk around with a question mark looking at you. They go around you because they don't know you.
Me and my brother there, we were the suspected firebugs of Rosebud.
It took 40 years
to find out the truth, One day, cop out to it, But was five years old, but I had a firebug jacket. Larry was a little bit older, so he was the ringleader.
Dang.
Like kids do play with fire, you know, they like to, and every kid's got a little firebug, every kid's got a little pyromania in them, you know. And,
we all been through that, man. We got to see if something's going to burn, you know what I mean?
That's what happened to us. Light a match and throw it on the ground and count to 10. You know, count to 10, and then when you get to 10, put it out. Then it say, okay, now it's your turn. You count to 15.
You tried, didn't
it? Yeah. So he does it, and he counts to 15. Then, okay, now your turn. Count to 20. Next thing, we're hauling ass because the whole field's on fire.
We used to make clothespin guns. And you know, farmer matches. Started a couple of fires like that. You know. Couldn't put it on. Maybe the third time. You know.
That's it. But we didn't have toys back in. We didn't have toys back in them days. You know.
Yeah.
You ever drive down somebody's house now and look in their yard? You can tell they have kids because they got 50 toys in their front yard.
Yeah.
We didn't have toys in our. We didn't even have a tricycle. We didn't have nothing. You know, we had to drive a car hood down the hill to ride something, you know.
If we needed a sled, we made our own, you know.
Yeah.
Car hood.
Yeah.
Car hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd ride a car hood down the hill. When we got to the city, our skateboards were 2x4s with roller skates at the bottom.
You know, they used to have those tin skates that you could put nails through them.
We didn't even have no fancy stuff. Our skates, remember, they used to spark when we go flying down the hill. That metal would be sparking.
And a shoe shine box. Kids rule.
Shoe shine box with a skateboard. Yeah. There you go, man.
We used to have some mean old toys, man. If we had a bike, it looked like Frankenstein. It had every different part on it, you know. One big front wheel, one little back wheel, you know. A pole for a seat, you know. a broomstick for a seat or something.
Bolt picking up for a pedal, you know. Nothing fancy.
Kids nowadays, man, you pass...
The porch was table legs.
Nowadays, you see all these fancy swing sets, all this fancy, you know. At least over here, we're still cars. We got a beat up swing set out here. Swing set around there with just a strap around for the swing. You know, we just still have old beat up stuff, you know, but kids don't care.
As a swing, you know, the bigger, you know, the stick through it, you know, hang on, you know. If it broke, you're shit out of luck, especially if you're out there, you know.
at least you have a tire, a big tire.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should ride it like a Bronx.
Hey, Larry, how about our fishing poles?
Even our kites
were oots, you know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, kids got every damn thing.
Newspaper. Made out of newspaper. I remember those days. We didn't have nothing fancy. Sure. There's nothing fancy about it growing up. You know, hell, even if you had a toy with wheels on it, shit, that was a find, man. You know, that was something to protect.
Yeah.
Shit, nowadays they got stuff laying all over the yard. Half of it destroyed.
Couldn't
afford that.
Hey, you guys, Wayne and Philip, you guys are turned on. Even Layla's turned on, so, might hear her giggle around.
Bring Halloween to the forefront here.
Layla's our age, so you can imagine what kind of broom she had back in her days.
I love it.
New vacuums.
Yeah.
Dual motors on it.
Got a
vacuum with two motors on it.
It's it. When we used to dress up for Halloween, man, we didn't have money for fancy outfits, you know. I see people going to stores and spending lots of money on outfits and stuff, you know. I remember Halloween when I was young, you know. We didn't even have money for a mask or nothing. You know, we made our own Lone Ranger mask, just a black rag across the eyes, you know. And our dressed like I used to like Dracula, you know. But Larry liked Frankenstein because he looked like him already.
Poor
Larry, my brother, just teasing him. Vimber looked like the Hulk. Vimber used to trick or treat like the Hulk, you know. Like the Hulk with one leg and all. But things change in modern times, and our kids going through a lot of stuff, and I feel bad these modern times, how our kids have to compete. Our kids have to compete with outsiders, you know. And it's kind of difficult to compete with rich people, so we don't do it. But like here, I seen trick or treat these kids running out of Evergreen, three little Lakota kids. They were dressed like Ku Klux Klan, you know. Yeah, because who the Ku Klux Klan to them, they don't care. It's just an outfit to them. Dressed like Ku Klux Klan, it means nothing, you know. But back in them days, there was the people we used to try to imitate, like some would want to be the Hunchback of Notre Dame, stick a bunch of pillows in the back, you know, run around. Yeah. But I don't know. I was trying to see what Phillip's dressed up as on Facebook. I keep an eye on Phillip, you know. We'll tell him, you know.
Yeah, I ain't dressing up.
you was born dressed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, for a number of years, I liked the Wolfman, so I always went out as a werewolf. So, and I would go all out because at one point, like just before high school ended, I got involved with the haunted house, and we ended up doing it a couple years after that, and I became. And I learned how to do special effects makeup. So I was actually doing all the makeup work for all the kids that were acting in the haunted house. But for me, I would go all out and I would spend actually 2 hours making myself up as a werewolf.
Cool.
Shit, I like the werewolf. I used to, we perfected that howl. Yeah, there was two things I perfected, and I could do it right now if I wanted to. One is I can howl like a wolf, and the other thing is I could yell like Tarzan. Oh, you know, I had that one down, you know, but yeah, you can imitate a peacock, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here goes.
Did they get one for me?
Yeah.
When I got older, I used to run around while all the other kids were trick or treating, and I would watch.
Yeah.
I would watch the kids so that none of the bullies in the neighborhood stole their candy. Because we used to have that happen a lot. And kid be sitting there crying as some older kid come by and snatch their pillowcase full of candy. And it's like, so I would go after them.
My brother and I stopped them.
I actually caught one of my friend's brothers in a back alley with a couple bags, and I beat his ass for him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, I understand that, you know. That's why I'm glad I had a big brother, you know. And, you know, we had my brother Larry was just look out for us, you know. And he was a beast himself, you know. But, you know. You know, we lived in L.A. when we were young. Then we moved out to what they call La Puente back in them days. Then Bassett, then in the city of industry. Now they call it Avocado Heights. You know, they changed all this. Where we grew up, they changed the names to these towns and stuff. And, you know, so we grew up in different places, but when we were young, it wasn't all for kids trick or treating. You know what I mean? And there's people right now will jam us up for being, what do they call it? Because we're like, we sound like we're in sympathy for Halloween, and here we are, AIM and all that. Why are we, you know? But it's just a fact. This is the truth, you know. We lived in an era where all of us, even you in Ohio, us in California, in the res, and all over, we lived in a time where we went through all these Christmas seasons, Thanksgiving seasons, 4th of July seasons, Halloween seasons, Valentine's Day. We went through all this. So what are we going to do in mid-course? Mentally, we can change, you know, me and you, because we're older. But how about the kids? Are we supposed to slap them across the head and tell them, no, there's no Halloween, there's no Valentine, there's no Peter Cocktail, you know? I mean, can we, you know, it's difficult. Even Christmas, I don't believe in Santa Claus. But you know, what do you do when your kids, when everybody's having Christmas trees and all that, and your kid there wants something, what are you going to do? Be an asshole or what? I don't know what to do, but, you know, I just go along with the flow. And, you know, we have a, let my daughter fix up her Christmas tree, you know, and all that, you know.
Here's my thoughts on it. You know, the tradition of Halloween, it dates back to pagan belief systems, but there were cultures around the world that celebrated this time. And for my people, the Mexica, the Day of the Dead, it wasn't a thing of horror or anything like that. It was a day to honor the people that came before you, that made it possible for you to be here. So it's a different mindset from different cultures. And here in this United States, where everybody's cultures are together, they've borrowed from everybody else's cultures to make this this holiday something that it is something different than what it originally started as. So, I mean, for me, and I've explained it to Lucas, I said, this is a time of year, people run around and they make themselves up. And for my culture, you know, they paint their faces as sugar skulls. You know, those they make those little sugar skull candies. And those are the things that you would leave out for the spirits. And I'm just speaking from my culture and the things that I've learned from my culture. And, you know, those ancestors are to be honored and respected. And this is a day that we remember them. I mean, I don't know how it is with other cultures or with like the Lakota Nation or Anishinaabes or the Creek or the Seneca. They may have a different way of honoring their ancestors.
No, we never had no Halloween or nothing like that. But the thing with what you're talking about, I seen it and I knew about it for years because, you know, I grew up with what we call Mexicans now. I grew up in that world, and I witnessed, you know, a lot of the things they did or they believe in, you know, and for that reason, I became acquainted with them, like the holiday you're talking about of the dead and all that, and the parade they had with it. You know, they usually have parades with this stuff, you know, and they have big events for them, you know. And so I was kind of familiar with them, you know, and I didn't look at them as Halloween at all. I looked at that as a totally different ball game. Like, it wasn't Halloween. It was like a ceremony to me. That was more like a ceremony honoring spirits and, well, what you call dead, you know. And it's a different thing when you, you know. So I understand these kind of celebrations, you know, and they're nothing like Halloween. Halloween, I don't know where it came from and don't care, but, you know, like all the witches and all the stuff over the years, the pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns and all that, you know, you got to, like me, I was born in 1950, you know, and as quiet as it is, Today is my birthday. I'm not trying to promote it either, you know. But
happy birthday,
you know.
Happy birthday, Wombly.
Yeah, but I just say that because I don't broadcast on Facebook or no place else, you know. And you know this show here, you know. I don't care who don't listen to it, you know.
Hold on, hold on, 54 again.
Shit, I turned 38.
Oh, yeah.
38. I'm so young, I'm still growing hair. The thing about it, you know, when you look at being born back in the 50s compared to nowadays, everybody I see people born in 1990 and I say, damn, 1990 was just a week ago to me, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, when someone's born in the 1980s or stuff, it just freaks me out now. You know, here I am, was born in the 50s. I remember what it was like in the 50s and the 60s. And look at my brother. He's young. I don't know what he's thinking, but, you know, he's been around for a time too, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, being young.
Country, travel on wagon trains.
Yeah. Well, I was a young guy, right? I was a baby, and I see my brother going to school in a one-room schoolhouse on top of the hill. He went one-room schoolhouse, one little building schoolhouse. You know, and he went to boarding schools, and I remember all this stuff about my brother, you know, his life back in them days. So this whole generation, the 2022, damn, can you imagine the difference, you know?
What do they call that, Generation X?
I don't know.
What is it called, Country? Is it Generation X or something? Remember, they had all these different generations they were naming off. Gen X, I think, is about 80s, 90s, I think, somewhere around.
Shit, I don't know. I even forgot Sean Penn's name earlier, you know.
1990.
They said baby boomers. They said baby boomers.
Yeah, we're baby boomers, I think. Yeah, we're baby boomers, those guys.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, that's
you're
what they call
a pup. What year were you born, Joshy?
I'm not telling.
Without giving too much.
Same time as you.
I'll give an estimate. Yeah.
Yeah, same time as this. I was born in the 50s.
He was born right after Columbus showed up.
Oh, God.
You seen the Mayflower when it floated in.
Yeah.
I was born in the 50s.
Yeah.
Same era as you.
We're all born in the 50s, and there's people look at us like they, you know, like in the 50s, that's a long time ago, you know. You know, and
they think we're antique.
And then you look, I got sisters born in the 60s, and to me, they're babies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
that's rude.
You know?
Yeah.
And then now you look, we got Takoshas, and I have great grandkids. I got about
seven or eight
of them now, you know. You know?
Yeah. Gray hair, limping around.
Yeah.
Stumbling every now and then.
Can't hear.
You know, can't remember.
Looking on her spit.
Yeah. It's turned out of the card, but it goes, oops.
But look at us. We're born in the 50s. We're born in the 50s, but we're still Shicha, you know.
Speak for yourself, Koshi.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm Vila, I see me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Lila Wash
stays since the family showed back up. A couple of days ago, you was running around with raggedy hair and, you know.
It wasn't making on
bare chest. Bare chest, you know. Wasn't even eating. Innocent grandpa again, you know.
Running down the road on shoulder. They couldn't catch him because he's jumping back and forth on the interstate.
His eyebrows were bent up like Jack Nicholson, you know, running down the interstate. But you see, we're born in the '50s, and Philip, what years were you born in?
You know, 65.
65. See, to me, that's a baby. And what about Wayne's? Yeah. Wayne's way younger than that. What year were you born in, Wayne? He said, "I ain't answering. I'm hanging up on this one." I was already a terror on earth, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. In my prime.
Well, when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
He tries to say, "Are you sure?"
I got my work cut out for me.
Jesus Christ.
Think about that now.
Yeah, you better think long and hard about that one.
Yeah.
Hey, shit.
In 1977, I was up to real bad, no good stuff.
You know, against the U.S. government, though. Those people born during that time, shit, they still smell like milk around the mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Lady of your whatever.
What am I going
to do? You said 1977, Wayne? Yeah, 1977. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I only barely remember bell buttons and disco.
Wow. Shit. Back when we were young in California, we didn't wear our pants down below our butt. We had our pants up to our chest. You know.
Heck yeah.
We used to wear them way up there.
And one button up here. There. Yeah. You know. Shit.
Yeah. We used to wear military creases. No, we didn't have disco back then. You know, we didn't have disco then, man. Shit, we was into Motown and, you know, well, they had Beatles and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
You know, we was into
back when, that's back when Soul Train was actually real.
We was into oldies but goodies, you know. You know, we was into oldies but goodies.
Dick Clark, you know, what was that dance show? What did they call it? American Bandstand.
Yeah,
American Bandstand.
That's the music.
Dick Clark. Yeah, and I remember they even a guy named Soupy Sales. Soupy Sales and you know and yeah, yeah sure, you know
yeah.
Flip Wilson, too. Huggy Bear.
Yeah, Flip Wilson. And shit, when I was young, when TV first came out, we had Amos and Andy. You know?
Yeah.
I remember when color TV first came out.
Rocky and Blue Winkle.
Yeah.
Rocky and Blue Winkle.
When your TV shut
off. Laurel and Hardy.
There's only one channel that shut off at midnight.
Yeah, with that fucking noise in the background. Yeah. It's just shut off with the Star Spangled Banner, remember?
Yeah. Be all pissed when I turned to watch TV, but no dice. Had to go to bed.
Look at these kids now, cartoons on Saturday morning. Yeah, Saturday morning cartoons and
Mighty Mouse was popular.
And Popeye.
Yeah. Popeye. Yeah.
That we are trying to get us to eat spinach.
Black Sambo,
you know?
They had that show called Little Black Sambo.
Yeah. You know, but you know, I remember we used to watch Little Rascals and you know,
Three Stooges.
Shirley Temple,
the Three Stooges,
you know, and Shock Theater. They used to have every Friday night was Shock Theater. That was where they had Frankenstein, the Vampire, Invisible Man. You know,
Twilight Zone.
Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Remember those?
You know, Vimber's only. Vimber just mentioned the Twilight Zone. He's still in the Twilight Zone.
I'm still trying to come out of that one.
Yeah, there was some. You know, but
you know, back in the day, you know, Tanshi, we didn't have Halloween on a reservation because we lived too far apart, you know, and people didn't believe in Halloween back then. You know, if anything else,
well,
Christmas was it, you know what I mean? And the other one was the what the heck they call that, where the rabbit lays eggs, what the hell is that?
Easter.
You know.
Yeah.
Those were probably
I lived in St. Francis when I was a baby, and we had Halloween. I remember my aunts used to dress up, run around, you know. But there was no candy, you know.
Yeah,
back with, you know, cookies and other kind of shit, you know. Homemade stuff.
I mean, they didn't have parties. It was like community.
Yeah.
It was the community to put it on if there was any kind of gathering, like for Halloween or stuff. But, you know, that's when you took your watrecha bucket, you know what I mean? The old lard bucket.
Yeah.
You know, and went with grandma, you know. But that was as far as Halloween went with those guys. So all this candy and stuff, this is all modern. You know, we never grew up with them. You know, as far as I know, the reason Halloween was, what is it? They hung witches during that time back in the day. And that's what it was about, hanging innocent women, accusing them of being witches, you know. That's what they, you know.
Where
it all started from, you know.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a good thing. Halloween wasn't a good thing back in the day. But they tried to play it off by, I guess, trying to honor those ones they killed that were innocent, you know. It's probably what it is. You know how the Washitu try to cover everything up, you know.
You know, we lived in L.A., or California back in the 50s. Halloween was trick or treating, going door to door, and you know, when we lived out away from the city, we moved away. You know, yeah. It was kind of different in Halloween. But we used to remember those potatoes, the gunny sacks? Man,
yeah.
Back in them days, people weren't stingy. I'd be dragging a gunny sack full of candy. You know,
wow.
We'd be eating candy for,
you know,
we'd be eating candy
back,
for months, man.
And you know what, Hush, back then, it wasn't this little candy either. It was candy bars. You know what I mean? Real, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't skimp out back in the day. You know, but nowadays they, you know, they have these little candies and stuff. Back then it wasn't like that. You know, they
had those big lip bars. Remember looks,
yeah.
And big humps and
yeah.
Giant Tootsie Rolls.
Charleston chews,
yeah.
All kinds of good stuff. You know.
Yeah.
It's real big candy. You know, back then candy bars were big for 2 cents, you know. You know, so that's what it was. Nowadays, you know, they downsized everything.
Can you imagine?
It happened over here because we're eating up all the candy.
Supposed to be for Halloween or for feasting over here.
I better get here soon.
Can you imagine? Candy bars were only 2 cents, but we still used to steal them.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
We're too poor, man. We didn't even have 2 cents, man. That was too rich for us. That's no lie, man. If you had a nickel, you shit, you was uptown. That's what it was. You know, do you remember, especially when they weighed candy? They used to weigh the candy.
Yeah.
You know, 25 cents, geez, 20 cents, you get a big old bag, you know. But it was all weighed. They had those big old barrels. You know, you know, it wasn't, they didn't skimp out back in the day. 2 cents brought you a lot of candy, you know.
Wow. Everybody
would be your friend. You know, where I live out here, where we live at, you've been out here to my house. Shit, nobody comes out here trick-or-treating. You know? Shit. You know? You don't want to go too far out over here, man. You might get raped or something, you know? You got to watch out, you know, so people don't go way out, you know, trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
You know? So to go trick-or-treating, the kids go in school housing, hospital housing, and you know, I remember in the city, you can tell when stingy people, they turned their lights off. See, even Ray Charles could see it. Everybody got their lights on, except for that house. That means they don't want to give you no candy, so don't go there. You know.
Yeah.
You know, pretty generous back in the day, but I don't know about now, candy so much. I was in the store the other day. They're selling Halloween bags or, you know, trick-or-treats. Man, them suckers are costing $19 a bag.
Yeah.
And it ain't even that much in there.
God.
You know? So, you know.
Yeah,
two pounds
bag for $20, you know.
So here we go.
Yeah.
10 ounces.
Yeah.
It's $9.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, guys,
$7.
I just want to know if it'd be appropriate. If,
2 ounces.
Yeah.
When I'm passing out candy.
What's up?
Over a dollar an ounce.
Hold up. Wait, Wayne wants to say something. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, normally I don't participate in Halloween Beggar's Night. Now, for example, if I'm passing out candy and it's a little white candy. Hold on a minute.
You burnt it there. You burnt it there.
Hold on a minute.
You burnt it
what
there,
if
man.
A little girl, what if a little girl comes to my door talking about I'm Pocahontas, right? And okay, would it be appropriate for me to say I'm Christopher Columbus, take her bag of candy, run off?
Where you come from, Wayne. I don't know where you come from, Wayne, but you don't show up saying I'm Pocahontas. All you do is show up and say trick or treat. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Listen, man, you know, a lot of kids nowadays, they have all kinds of costumes on now.
Yeah, don't matter. Like I said, some kids run out looking like Ku Klux Klan. It don't matter. You know, I see where your point is. But you know, my point is this. I'm not going to get off into all of that over kids, you know. Well, I'm going to slap a Pocahontas suit off some kids. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you know I'm making a joke, right?
He's making a joke.
You guys know I'm making a joke, right?
I don't.
Well, make your joke. Let me hear your joke. I didn't hear it yet. but you know, I'll tell you the truth, Wayne. You know, when you call it beggar's night, that was a low blow because I didn't see trick-or-treating as beggar's night, you know.
That's what
they call here in the Midwest.
You live in a different world.
Midwest is all racist, that's why. Midwest
you're
has
right.
always been there. That's Mississippi.
Yeah, I see your point.
Modern Mississippi.
I'm not saying I don't see your point or nothing, but I'm just saying, you know, you look at, you know, different times and what we spoke about earlier, you know, we didn't call it beggars night. It was a night of people being generous to kids. That's the way I seen it.
Yeah.
That's people being generous to kids. And some of them didn't just give candy. Some of them would give dollar bills. There were some houses gave silver dollars. Man, I double up in that.
Wow.
My costume.
Quarters, dollars, cookies, big packs of cookies.
Well, you must have lived in different times because nowadays in this region, there's advisories on the television said about beware of people placing candy into children's bags because it could be laced with fentanyl.
Hey, listen here, Wayne. Listen here. We mentioned this the whole time since we've been here tonight. We are a different time. You know, Vember and all of us. That's what we're talking about. We understand how it is today. Today, kids got to be careful going trick-or-treating. Kids got to be careful with everything today. Women got to be careful walking. We already talked about it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, like you said, you're born in 1977. So in other words, really, you're talking about 1987. You're not talking about the year you were born. You're talking about 10 years later. Of course, nowadays, you can't do that. You know, nowadays, you can't do that. Nowadays is a different time. You know, I'm scared to say, I won't send my daughter out to trick or treat. You know, nowadays, there's a lot of stuff going out there, you know. Out there in the world, and you always hear gossip and stuff. A lot of stuff ain't true, but yeah, you know. But we don't go out there. I don't go out there to jump on people's what they're wearing for Halloween either.
Put fentanyl in kids' candy.
Yeah.
To me, if somebody does that, there's a good ass kicking, you know. Which is his product.
But Tahashi, you're right. Right there, you said it. All that is gossip because people that sell fentanyl, they have it to make money. And then there's the people that use it. The users ain't going to share it. I see people drop some drugs on the ground and look for it for hours with a flashlight. They ain't gonna be giving away free stuff, you know. So that's why I always laugh when I hear how the white man wants to throw fear on you. Oh, they're going to give fentanyl at Halloween. They're going to do this and that at Halloween. Well, I know the white man is an evil sucker, and he will give something wicked, but he won't be given fentanyl. He won't be given something that's going to cost him money. He might, you know, yeah. I heard, you know, of course, him throwing razor blades and candy and, you know, different stuff, but they're not going to waste money.
You know, I've heard it from marijuana all the way to LSD, and now it's fentanyl, and, you know, it's
yeah.
down the line. It's a scare tactic, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what it is.
You know, they want to bullshit you is what it is, but common sense tells you a drug dealer ain't going to give away no drugs, and a drug user ain't going to share no drugs. That's
yep.
all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drug users, man, are stingier than hell. You know,
guys that sell it, they don't want people coming to their house. You know, that's the other thing. You know, they'll shut
yeah.
the doors, lights off, everything, keep it locked up tight. You know, so,
yeah.
so I don't know why they keep bringing that. You know, I've heard it from marijuana to LSD. Now it's fentanyl. What is it going to be next year? You know. But that's
yeah.
it's scare tactic. You know, they even have these kids taking their candy to X-ray machines and getting free X, all this other.
Aww.
You know, it gets too far out of hand. You know, why would somebody making bank on fentanyl be giving it out free? You know,
but here's the other deal: if you get caught giving some kids something, you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yep.
in these modern times, it ain't hard to track out where the hell it came from.
Yeah. Yep.
Kids say, yeah, we got that over there, you know, and you're done. You know?
Yeah, they know.
So,
you know, these kids, they know, yep. And it's not going to, if a guy does that, he's a fool for doing it because he is not going to last very long, you know.
You're going to get caught, you know. They're, you know, I'm not saying there's nothing evil goes on. We got to watch out, you know. And, yeah, my children and all that, I tell people be careful, you know. But like over here on the Indian Reservation, the worst thing about the Indian Reservation is you go up and say trick or treat. They don't answer the door because they don't want it. They don't have nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But when they open that door, it's because they got candy and they're feeling good about it and they're sharing it. You know, this
yeah.
is the Indian Reservation. Are these communities out in the city? It might be a different ball game. You know, of course. But the other thing is, I'm not going to sit out there and attack people for their costumes or what a kid's wearing because. You know, I seen kids dressed up like Indians, and I didn't care. You know, I just never got into that, you know. But I tell you one thing we did too, you know, and maybe the black people, I remember we painted our face black to look like some black people.
Yeah.
We'll go trick-or-treat.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you know, we put shoe polish on and went around, you know. This is back in the day, you know, because it was about trick or treat, you know, maybe a black guy painted his face white or something. I don't know, you know, you know, but that's what trick or treat was about back then, you know, and I'm not sitting here spoiling the whole AIM show on trick or treat and Halloween, you know. It just turned into that. Look at, we spent an hour and a half already on this, you know, and that says something about it. It shows as quiet as it kept, we must have had some interest in it because we didn't go off into too much other topics that are out there, you know, like, you know, there's, things going out there in the world, you know, there's threatening, the U.S. is threatening North Korea, they're threatening Russia again, they're doing all, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's still that Sashin Little Feather thing floating around. They're still on her ass, you know.
Hey, they're telling the Washitas to get out of Africa now too. See, there's all kinds of shit going on. Yeah, you know, and Venezuela, they're trying to get back in good with Venezuela. All this shit going on about the Washita, you know.
Yeah, the American, after all they said about Venezuela, they're double taking, thinking about getting some oil, you know, so they're going to
You know, because winter's coming around, and, you know, it's getting cold, and, you know, people are cutting back on this oil stuff, so now they're trying to buddy up with Venezuela, you know. And then, but still, you know, the damage is done. You know, those people treated us right, you know, a couple years ago. They gave us a bunch of money for to help the reservations with fuel oil and propane and, you know, wood. You know, that's how kind Venezuela was to Native Americans.
They're mad at Iran right now for giving Russia some, you know, some assistance on drones, or I forget what it is.
Yeah.
But look at the drones. U.S. is passing out drones left and right to Ukraine. Everybody's helping Ukraine. Nobody's saying nothing. But because another country wants to help Russia, oh, they're violating this law, violating that law, violating, you know. The Americans are some sick, coward people, man. They got no shame about their game. You know, no shame. I mean, you got to have some dignity in life, and they lost all their damn dignity, but people still don't see it. You know? I mean, you know, if they're going to have war, then there's no rules in war. There's no rules in war. Everything goes if you're going to have a war. You know? You ain't going to have a war and say, well, you can only use this size bullet. You know?
Fight you, but you can't hit me in the eye because I got glasses, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know? that's what it is.
No hitting below
the belt.
But
hit anything goes, you know.
But the Americans, and I'm talking about even Indians, they're in on this. They're in on this. Their brain got so tore up and shot, you know, they're in on it. They start attacking Russia, Venezuela, Iran. They attack everybody. And North Korea, they're saying North Korea, they're ready for regime change again for shooting some missiles, you know. They're talking a lot of shit. But you know what? There's a bigger thing out there. There's Russia. And there's China. And the U.S. is nothing. And in order for them to mess with North Korea, they got to get to being nice to China.
Yep.
You see? And they can talk. That's news. They can say anything they want on news, but the real picture is this. They better watch out because Americans ain't as powerful as they claim to be. You know, they're running out of weapons to give to Ukraine already. They're, you know, maybe that's the whole plan. Let's see if they run out of shit. Then after they run out of everything, we'll just go step all over them. You know, because the Americans are that stupid.
The way I look at America is they're bona fide liars from day one. When you know, look at what they did. They're still liars. Now they're trying to do this CRT thing. I don't know what the hell it is. Critical race theory. You know, all this white supremacy stuff. You know, and look at that. Like I said, look at this so-called war in Russia there. You know, those are his people, you know. Why is America there? There's got to be a reason they're there, see?
Oil.
And that oil is the reason why, see? And they got that little Washita boy, you know, that's their boy, you know, that guy. What's his name? Zelensky or whatever his name is, see? And that's, you know, America doesn't want to tell the truth. They tell lies here. They play it big here. But they don't tell what these other countries are about. They don't want to tell the truth about China, about Venezuela, about Russia, you know, Iran. You know, they don't want to tell the truth because they're liars. Washitos are all liars. Look at the politicians. Look what's going on now. You know, they got a bunch of racist white people sitting in Congress all over the place. They're still talking about a guy that committed all these crimes. Now, if me and Tanshi did that, or, you know, one of us did shit, they would have put us in a firing squad. But all him and his cronies, all the shit that they did, they didn't do nothing to them because they're rich, white liars. And that's what they do to the rest of the people.
Like right now, we represent the American Indian movement. And we got Philip here, we got Wayne here, Layla, you, and different tribes. But out there in the world, they got tribes out there that you know, they're trying to be Indian and all that. But I'll give you an example. I put a post, just a joke post about Halloween. You know, I said, I'll just take my shirt off and turn into a beast, and don't be scared. I will hand out bites of raw kidney, you know, because kidney's a treat to us, right? But here comes some Indian woman. She says she's Indian. She says, give me raw liver. I don't feel like cooking the piss out of those kidneys. Ha, ha, ha. She thinks she's funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
but she don't know that kidneys is a spiritual food for us.
Yeah,
you see, she thinks she's from another tribe, but has no respect for another tribe's spiritual food. You see, these other tribes, they start being Indian yesterday. They weren't Indian last month or 10 years ago. They started being Indian yesterday, you know. And they jump in and they don't have a clue about respect for other tribes.
You know.
No clue. Plus, most of them got so much white in them and they ran around with Washita so much. That's why they're like that. That's what I see in this woman. When I look at her profile, pure white. But want to be Indian, you see, and you know, but she said that because she had no clue that raw kidneys is a spiritual food. We at ceremonies, when we get spiritual played out, what do we get? Raw kidneys, wasna, and water, and you know, but she right away. Trying to be funny. She said, I don't feel like cooking the piss out of those kidneys. I said, what? You know, I put what? And she repeated, cooking the piss out of kidneys. I said, I don't know where you come from, but that's Lakota eat raw kidneys. I said, raw, you know, and kind of got into it with her, you know. And then I ended up writing a book explaining about spirituality. You know, you don't go making fun of other people's food, and you don't go make fun of people, any part of food. Think she's so elite that she can make it decide what kind of meat she wants. You know, let her. But, you know, don't come around me and play Indian to me, you know.
Because, you know, Tushy, those type of people forget what their ancestors lived through, you know.
Yeah.
They got to keep in mind, their ancestors, their grandmothers and grandfathers, they didn't have it hunky-dory all the time. This is something new to that woman, if she's Indian. No. And to disrespect something that's a spiritual food like kidneys, that's our food. That's a lot of these natives. That's what they lived on at one time. Because we didn't always have pots and pans and stoves and, you know, they forget. They're too Washitu, so they think they have a right to say things like that to other people. That's not cool at all. I'll take a bite of kidney any day as a trick or treat. And that woman could keep her opinions to herself. Apparently, she isn't Indian, and she doesn't think about what her ancestors lived through. You know, she got no respect, so she's not Indian.
Because right away when they start backstepping, they start saying they're Indian. They come out with, she says, I'm Salagi, I'm Chickahominy. She starts naming off a bunch of tribes I never heard of. But I'm not disrespecting no tribe. But in other words, she's naming 50 tribes what she is. So, you know, but once the Clay Indian, because she's over there on my profile or something, you know, she's trying to claim all these tribes. The thing about it is I don't care what tribe you are. When you tell me you're Indian, I believe you. You know, you don't need to tell me, well, I'm part this, I'm part that, I'm part this, and I'm 50%. I don't care about all that. 9 times out of 10, I look at you, I can tell you're a native anyway. You ain't going to make me feel better about you by describing or saying your grandpa was Chief so-and-so or like that Jacqueline Keeler. You look at her profile. She says, my grandpa was this, and she names off famous names because they need to validate themselves. Look at Tanashi. Do me and you need to name off our grandpas? We don't need to name off nothing. We don't even need to tell our mom's name. We don't even need to tell our father's names. You know, we know what our bloodline is. We don't need to put, you know, all this stuff. But that's what they do.
I don't go on bragging that.
They don't realize, be a native. Be proud you're native. Be proud, even if you're not sure what tribe you are, what. You know, be proud, you know. But damn sure, don't think you're better than everybody else that you got to cook the piss out of kidneys. Because you know what? You are piss if you tell me that, you know. You tell me that, you're full of piss, you know. You know what I mean?
Because we eat it all the time, Tashi. Heck yeah. Me and my kids love raw kidneys. I mean, I ain't kidding you. My kids, anytime you throw something like that, it disappears quick. You know, when we go buy kidneys, we have to buy 10, 15 kidneys because one or two just don't get it. See? I mean, you know, that's, and their kids, my grandkids, are the same way.
How about the Washi kidneys, you know?
You know, and here you have people trying to make fun of it. That's what I'm saying. Apparently she doesn't think that her grandmas and grandfathers didn't go through a hard time, you know? And that's, she claims to be Indian. She ought to look back at what her grandparents went through, the torture they went through, the hunger they went through. And the kidneys, I bet you, saved a lot of those people back then. And that woman doesn't think about that. See? And that's why
If you're a real native and your parents and you come from native blood, I don't care what tribe you come from, life wasn't easy. You ate what was there. and you ate kidneys. Yeah. You ate the whole entire animal, whatever you had.
Yep.
You know, and it was every part of it was good. You know.
Yep. Yep.
It was just, you know, and but nowadays, you know, you could tell this woman here must be some kind of picky peckerwood. You know that to to say stuff like that, you know. You know.
Pecky Pickerwood?
You know? Yeah. You know? Because, you know what? I don't make fun of other cultures' food because I've been around the world and I've seen people eat. You know, it's like I seen some, they had a video on Facebook. And they're talking about fried bread and wasabi, you know, native dinner.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? The Russians eat wasabi, and they eat tortillas and all that, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing they don't realize is that Russians make wasna out of fish. You know, we don't. You know, we eat wasna out of everything else. But you know, other cultures, we ain't the only culture. Does stuff. Other cultures, we all, there's, you know, like we have like fruit, like berries. There's so much, only so much you can do. So that's why a lot of cultures eat wasabi, but they don't call it wasabi. We call it wasabi because it's Lakota. But you know, I ate wasabi all over, and they make tortillas. You go over there to Caucasia and different Siberia and different parts of Russia. Man, they make tortillas. They make tortillas 3 feet wide. Can you imagine making tortillas 3 feet wide?
Wow.
Yeah.
And they make burritos. I was over there eating burritos. They just don't eat, you know, their burritos have pork and vegetables and taste really good, but they don't call them burritos. When I said, I like the burrito, they didn't know what the hell we're talking about. You know, you know, but they have their own names.
Hey, Wombly, I'm at Silka's house, and she gives me this kind of, you know, it kind of looked like tuna salad on a piece of bread. So I take a bite, I'm going, what's this? And she says, fine. It was raw pig. I mean, it's our favorite. Raw pig.
Yeah. Wow. You know, like, everybody's got their own food, and every tribe of Indian, you know, like I hear people saying, "Oh, I don't eat mutton. I don't eat mutton." You know, I don't eat mutton, but you know, because mutton, sheep. Well, I do like mutton. I do eat that Navajo food. You know, I don't have nothing against. And a lot of tribes. Every tribe has their own. You know, like you go to the Northwest, man, they're into fish. They cook salmon on big, you know, platforms and all that.
Wow.
Every tribe has its fish, you know, fish and food.
Yeah.
Hey, Larry, remember we used to go to Fort Sutter? Larry, remember we used to go to, hey, I guess I'm cut out of that conversation. We used to go to Fort Sutter. They had big powwow there, and those Indians had a fire wall of wood with salmon stacked up, smoking them on there, you know. That's what, instead of buffalo, they had salmon. Every tribe has its expert, you know. It's delicacies, you know. I was laughing at Vimber and them because they got their microphone on real loud. And, you know, so it sounds like they're on the air. You know, I was trying to
trying to catch him here.
Hey, Bimber.
Yeah, you guys got your mic. You got your mic on the air. So if you want to share what you're talking about, let's share it.
We was talking about these people like in Alaska that eat these different foods, you know, like blubber and seal, and, you know,
yeah.
Some of them, you know, they say some of it's rotted fish that they eat, you know, and these Washitos up there eat it right along with these natives, see? So, you know, there's different places, there's different things, but, you know, you shouldn't make fun of people's foods because you never know when you're going to need them. You know, and that's the thing. That's this woman doesn't think about that. You know, that you respect Woyute. You know, that's to bring people together. Woyute, to bring people together for a feast. Woyute, see, that's what it means.
And you
that's
know,
all food.
To us, Indians, when they share food, when we share food, you know, it's an honor for us to share food. And when somebody don't want to eat it, when someone don't want to eat it and acts like they're too good for it, it kind of makes you kind of something, you know.
You get offended when that happens, you know. I know I do.
Yeah.
I remember I have a cousin. She lives in Livermore. And my mom hadn't seen her, just met her. My mom was all happy to have her come to the house. My mom made a big dinner, and you know mom can cook. She made a big dinner for him, and here, you know what, this girl, because her old man's Washitu, and she lives, she says, oh, we'll be back. We're going to go to the restaurant. Just my mom's food like that and walked away, you know, and then came back like everything. Man, I told mom, I don't care. I'll eat her share. I just started tearing into it, you know. But you see, people don't have no respect for people. If I give you something to eat, I hope you eat it. Or don't never ask me again. And us, we're sun dancers. We're sun dancers. We fast.
We know that.
We don't turn down no food. We don't turn down no water. And sometimes I think people need to starve or drink or go without water for a few days like we did for them to respect life better. You know,
to appreciate it. No,
if you go down Layla's, if you go down Layla's, you're going to eat shrimp.
Yeah, that's
good shrimp.
Heck yeah. You know, I love shrimp.
She lives in Florida. You know, she has a bucket of shrimp there.
Yeah, Layla said she's going to send me a plane ticket and I can come down and eat some shrimp with her.
Heck yeah.
You should jump for it.
I don't care. I'm all for it, me. Yeah, you know, that's,
she might feed you some alligator, too. You know?
Heck yeah.
I'll eat it.
Well, I hate
the
alligator.
The snook should be hitting the Indian River there pretty soon, running up and down the Indian River spawning.
What's going to be spawning down there?
Red. It's called Red something. It's really big there.
Yeah. She lives by the Indian River. That's where she took me to the Indian River.
Yep.
You know? We've seen those. Yeah, we're kayaking. They have those big manatees there. They have alligators there. They have everything out there, you know. And me, I'm a fat, plump dinner for something out there. I was trying not to show my meat, you know. But anyway, you know, we got to cut it. Hey, Wayne, do you have any last comments before we go? Because we got to get ready to go here.
Oh, wow. I'm good, man. You know? It's been a good show tonight. Besides, you know, I was 77. You know what I mean?
What's that?
Don't be scared of the kids.
What's that?
I said it's been a good show tonight, man. I don't have anything to say besides, you know, 1977, you know.
All right. Well, 1977 was a good year because I was robbing banks that year.
No, no.
Oh,
no.
No, I'm just joking, you know. But Philip, any last comments?
I'd just say it was a good show. It was a really fun show. I got a good laugh. I needed it.
Yeah, these. And then Layla, how about you, Layla?
Yeah, you know, I love my brothers, and I wish you many, many blessings.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. You know, the thing about it is we have to keep in mind, and, you know, like Wayne, Philip, and all that, you know, like Vimber and my brother, you know, I don't want to, you know, we're family, so don't feel like we're trying to take over here or there. Like we don't respect. We appreciate you guys being here and respect everything you say or what you do, you know, your opinions or whatever. The one thing is, you know, like knowing Philip and other people, Layla and other people that were on the show, we're all different tribes and we have different ways of living and we have different you know, things. And I don't put down no other tribe. You know, we might be pretty harsh against Washichu because what they did to us. But also, and I sometimes get disappointed at people, different cultures who think they're white when they're not. They like should appreciate their own culture. They should appreciate their African heritage. They should appreciate their European heritage. They should appreciate their Asian heritage. They should appreciate all their culture, you know. And, you know, I have children that aren't full-blood Lakota. And I have a son talks German. And I have a daughter talks Russian. And I want them to talk these languages. I want them to be proud of who they are. Of course, I could say I wish they were full-blood Lakotas, but it didn't turn out that way. The thing about it is they're family. And I like to see people respect where they come from, their own culture, and appreciate it, and not attack anybody like that woman. Jump on our shit over kidneys, you know.
Only Americans,
that, you know. You know, I mean, you know, that's a low blow. Yeah. And with that,
Houston,
I'm
American.
Turning it over to Hushy so he can, you know, no cussing, Vember. Go ahead. Any last comments before you pray, you know? Any last comments between you and Larry?
Well, Tanshi here had something to say about Hearst. I said,
Rick got kind of pissed at the Patty Hearst because she hit the first bank that she wanted to go to first.
Me and Patty Hearst hit the same bank, you know. So I kind of got now easy of her, you know.
Trying to copy my brother.
Talk about small worlds and people we know, you know. and this ain't no lie, you know. Go ahead, Joshi.
All right, we'll say a prayer to close it up. Let's go, Kashlatela, Kuntakaki.
Oh, Oh, well, stay. You guys stay.
Hey, Patty, here's...